In the 94-year history of the Green Bay Packers, they have never scored 50-plus points in back-to-back games until yesterday, when they beat the NFC East-leading Philadelphia Eagles 53-20 in front of a Lambeau Field crowd that's becoming a nightmare to opposing teams. We'll break it all down on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden, along with Alex Halich. We're talking some Packers football. We're talking about a victory yesterday over the Philadelphia Eagles, the NFC East leading Philadelphia Eagles. Packers dominating the game and vaulting into a first place tie with the Detroit Lions in the NFC North Division, albeit still losing the tiebreaker at this point. But I find it hard to believe that the Green Bay Packers would lose to the Detroit Lions in the regular season finale when they come to Lambeau Field in late December, the way the Packers are playing right now. Lions yesterday lose to the Arizona Cardinals on the road. Cardinals, by the way, looking really good and perhaps going to be the number one seed in the NFC Conference, although they do have some tough upcoming games against division opponents Seattle and San Francisco upcoming. We'll see how it all shakes out, but the Packers still looking for that division clincher, looking for a home game in the playoffs, looking for a bye in the playoffs, perhaps looking for home field advantage. We'll see. There's still a lot of season to play out yet, but yesterday was another step in the right direction as the Packers take care of the Philadelphia Eagles. Mark Sanchez certainly didn't look all that comfortable in Chip Kelly's offensive system, although I don't think the system had anything to do with it. It was just Mark Sanchez being Mark Sanchez that you saw with the New York Jets, where he had accuracy issues and wasn't getting a whole lot of help either around him, but he was definitely frustrated, to say the least. But we start today's show with
Packers news of the day.
Yesterday, the Packers and Aaron Rodgers get the job done. Aaron Rodgers looking especially effective, throwing three touchdown passes in yesterday's victory. And here are comments from the quarterback himself as part of his post-game press conference. Here from Aaron Rodgers breaking down yesterday's game.
Not easy. This is a tough job. A lot of preparation goes into it. A lot of guys working together. It takes all 11. The offensive line has done a great job the last couple of weeks of protecting really well, giving some time. Guys made plays down the field. Had a couple good runs. Eddie did a good job on the check down, ran in for a touchdown. So, it takes 11 guys doing their job to make something like this happen.
You see single high early. Were you expecting more blitzing early?
Well, they blitzed a little bit. There was some single high, but they mixed their coverages up. We just caught them on the first one there to Jordy down the sidelines. Then they held us to a field goal, and then we did a good job putting the next three in the end zone. Defense, our special team scored, so we had 31 in the first half. Yeah, it really puts the opponent in a tough spot.
As usual, Aaron Rodgers looking highly effective, and perhaps joining the MVP conversation after yesterday's victory. It's interesting. Every week I share on social media the odds of players winning the NFL's MVP award. And I believe heading into the week, it was Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck who were leading had been placed as the leaders by the odds makers coming into week 11. And after Aaron Rodgers wasn't far behind, but I think he was in third place. And after this game, you got to think Aaron Rodgers, he's going to be right there with the leaders, if not take the outright lead in this game, or, you know, after this game, I should say. He is just he's so effective. It almost looked easy for Aaron Rodgers on Sunday. You know, he's got the three interceptions as opposed to, pardon me, three touchdowns as opposed to zero interceptions. And that's the point I wanted to make here, is that those zero interceptions, this extends an NFL record for Aaron Rodgers. I believe the number is now 322 pass attempts without an INT at Lambeau Field. That is an NFL record for a quarterback at home, the longest streak without an interception at home. So, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, his penchant for taking care of the football is simply fantastic. But it's more than just that, though. I mean, I think that's perhaps the best thing he does as a quarterback, is avoids the turnovers, avoids the interceptions, although he did have a fumble. Thankfully, the Packers recovered yesterday. And Aaron Rodgers, I believe it was the second drive of the game that they connected on three third and longs to set up a score. And it was three completions of third and nine or longer. And you'll remember one of them was like third and 18. It was all set up by, at one point, the Packers had the botch snap from Corey Linsley to Aaron Rodgers, made it third and 24. Well, the next play, Aaron Rodgers, and this is just one more thing that he does so well, he gets the defense to jump offside with the hard count, makes it third and 18, and after that connects with Andrew Corliss for a long first down, keeps the chains moving, sets up a subsequent score. But on that drive, connecting on converting three third downs of third and nine or longer, it was a work of art. And I think at that point, that just set the tone for the rest of the day. And I think it broke the Eagles back at that point, when they just showed the Packers' offense could not be stopped from that point forward. And it ended up being a long day for the Eagles' defense that was a respectable unit, maybe not a great one, but the Packers dispatching them handily on Sunday afternoon. The Packers, they're averaging, I saw, 33 points per game. That's in all games this season, leading the NFL, leading the league in scoring. And, at Lambeau Field, it's taken up a notch. I know they were averaging 41.5 points at home coming into the game. That's only been extended. I haven't done the math in my head. Feel free if you on the live blog want to figure out what the Packers are averaging at home this season. It is incredible what they're doing. I can't see any team beating them at home, although the upcoming matchup against the New England Patriots in a few weeks should be an incredible, incredible game. Still a few more weeks to go until that one, including getting by division opponent Minnesota Vikings on the road next week. But still, the Packers, what they're doing at home, it's at one point, we talked about this last week, it seemed as if the home field advantage at Lambeau Field, the mystique had kind of gone away, especially after the playoff losses to the Giants, the 49ers, Randy Moss back in the day. It seemed as if the mystique went away, but it is back, and back with a vengeance, I guess it is. It's remarkable, remarkable, the domination, the convincingness that the Packers are winning with. It's these games aren't even close, and they won in every facet of the game. To get back to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers offense, though, kudos to the Packers offensive line. I think they were a big part of why the Packers won, and the unit as a whole ended up getting special recognition for me in the postgame's chip report that you can view at our blog at Cheesehead TV, earning a red chip. It's tough to single out any one player, but the unit as a whole just did a fantastic job, both pass blocking, run blocking, you name it. They kept the pocket clean, allowing only one sack on the entire day. And the one sack that happened, it was like after 5 seconds, you know, they did the job they needed to do. It was just, you know, that nobody was open. Rodgers had to hang on to the football, ends up eventually getting sacked. So, I mean, it's not even the offensive line's fault. And then they open up holes for Packers ground game that gained over 100 yards. It did what it had to do. The Packers took to the air despite it being below freezing. But it wasn't the Ice Bowl by any means, but anytime the weather gets below freezing, it's, you know, it's not comfortable. But the Packers show once again, as they have many times over the years, that just because it's cold doesn't mean you can't pass the football. You can do it. They went to it early and often on Sunday. And you know, again, a big part of it was the offensive line that kept the pocket clean and did very good job run blocking as well. Mentioned before, Corey Linsley had that one bad snap. Well, kudos to him for rebounding from that. And you know, coming into a game, there was all this talk about Corey Linsley being a Pro Bowler, and he gets off to the bad start. But from there on out, it's as if it motivated him. And he was a big part of the Packers' domination up front of the Eagles' defensive front seven. Corey Linsley, a big part of that. You know, again, here are the Packers' starting pair of guards, Josh Sitton and TJ Lang, fighting through injury, nursing their respective injuries in which they each have torn ligaments in their feet, their ankles, Lang with the ankle, Sitton with the toe. They fight through another gutty performance, and David Bakhtiari and Brian Bulaga getting the job done as well. All those guys doing a great job. And I should say this is pretty much limited to the Packers' starting offensive line. The backup offensive line, Lane Taylor and J.C. Treader, did not look good. When the game got out of hand and the Packers put the backups in at the end, they still need some work. Thankfully for the Packers, they are just backups, and the game wasn't in question at the time. But Eddie Lacy, for the first time in his career, scores both a touchdown through the air and on the ground, has over 100 all-purpose yards. And again, Eddie Lacy did what he needed to do this day. The Packers didn't need him. Despite it, again, being cold, they went with the pass early, and they basically needed him to run down the clock late. But, I mean, he didn't do, you know, wasn't breaking off these long runs, although he did have the nice long scoring pass in which he, once again, refused to go down, as he's done so many times. He just bounces off tacklers, keeps his balance. That is the most impressive thing. I think about Eddie Lacy is his balance and low center of gravity. That is his calling card, and just is so tough to take down. But he gets the job done, scores two touchdowns, including a goal line score. And you know, in far as the receiving aspect of the Packers, Randall Cobb, how about the job he did leading the team in receptions? And you have to wonder, when is Randall Cobb going to get his contract extension? I'm not worried about when, really. I'm not worried about it. It's going to happen. You know, I know there's people out there that are like, extend him now. Well, it's going to get done. The Packers, I cannot see letting him test free agency. You know, whether it happens during the season, after the season, whatever, it's going to get done. Randall Cobb is going to get a handsome contract extension. And he could make a lot of money on the free market, but I think the Packers will give him a very fair contract to do what he did yesterday. Be a security blanket to Aaron Rodgers, be a threat in the middle of the field as a slot receiver, but that's not to say he can't get the job done on the perimeter as well, making several nice catches on out routes or comebacks along the sidelines. Randall Cobb can do it all and can do it on special teams if need be, although that brings us to a good transition on special teams. This is why the Packers played so well yesterday, as the worst part of the game, the worst phase of the game for the Packers on Sunday was their special teams. But in spite of their shortcomings, they were still able to get a 75-yard punt return from Micah Hyde for a touchdown that basically almost negated everything they did bad in special teams. They make up for in one play. I mean, when the worst, that's your worst phase of the game, but you still score a touchdown on special teams, that tells you how good the team is playing. Micah Hyde deserves, for his play yesterday, deserves special mention of being such an effective player, getting the job done on both defense and special teams. The way he was able to get up the field, put just one little juke move on, and outrun the last man to the end zone, the punter. Micah Hyde electrified that Lambeau Field crowd and again extended the Packers' lead and was just great. Albeit the rest of the Packers' special teams wasn't looking so good. In fact, apart from that one play, they were borderline terrible. Here's what the Packers did yesterday on special teams: a blocked extra point, a blocked punt, a botched extra point in which they couldn't even get the kick off and the snap went through the holder's hands, and a miss of a field goal. There is four plays right there that were just pathetic. I mean, Mason Crosby was very close on a 50-plus yard field goal in below freezing conditions once again. I'm not so mad about that. Would have been great if he would have been able to connect on it. But, the blocks especially, those got to stop. It's a good thing probably in the end, in that, the Packers, despite, demolishing the Eagles, there is something that they can focus on, not just this week, but the rest of the season, and be like, there is still room to improve. There's still ways we can get better. And this is how they can do it, is by not botching things on special teams like this. Last week they give up the kick return for a touchdown. This week they have two blocks. It's got to stop. Thankfully the game was out of hand, out of control. No way the Eagles could get back into it. But, for them to screw up the blocking schemes like this, it's unacceptable. Tim Nastay in particular having a poor day with that snap that went through his hands. That was his biggest mistake. The lone punt of the day was like a 34 net yard punt. That was nothing special as well. And the miss and the other blocks, it was not a good day for Tim Nastay by any stretch of the imagination. But thankfully, like I said, Packers making up for it in almost one play yesterday, courtesy of Micah Hyde. Getting to the defensive side of the football, I think once again, you got to start with Clay Matthews because this transition is working. And it was basically the same formula the Packers used the previous week against the Bears. Despite the Eagles seeing that, getting a sneak preview, knowing what the Packers are going to do to come into the game. There was nothing they could do to game plan around Clay Matthews that worked. Once again, he looks effective and fast as an inside linebacker and you know, utilized in much the same way, playing inside on early downs, lining up as an inside line, an outside linebacker on passing downs, and rushing the quarterback, getting a sack, getting some hurries, jumping up and deflecting that pass. Remember when he had to like jump twice to do it? And then he actually went and like grabbed his hamstring, and I was like, oh no, here comes the hamstring that bothered him early in the season. And it did give you, you had to hold your breath for a second. And you know, it was actually worried a couple times because it appeared Jordy Nelson came up limping one time as well. But you know, both the players stayed in the game. That they fought through it. I don't know if it was just so minor that it was almost insignificant. But those guys, a couple times, looked as if the stars of the show, you know, the Packers' best defensive player, Clay Matthews, and, you know, maybe the best offensive player outside of Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson, those guys with those hamstrings, but ends up being nothing happening there. And I mean, it's just continued good health by the Packers this season after so many years, 3 out of the last 4 years prior to this one, you know, having so many players on injured reserve. It's nice for once where the Packers are having one of those good health type of seasons. No injuries of note that I can think of coming out of yesterday's game. Except for these, you know, few things here, these minor issues with Clay Matthews and Jordy Nelson, and hopefully they're fine. I can't recall anything. Kind of a silver lining. I hesitate to even call it a silver lining. I mean, the Packers dominated the Eagles yesterday. I'm not even sure that term even applies. But apart from Clay Matthews, the Packers getting 2 return touchdowns, an interception return by Julius Peppers, and a fumble return by Casey Hayward on a botched snap. Mark Sanchez not being able to handle a snap from center. Casey Hayward snatches it up, returns it for a score, and then the great play by Julius Peppers, having his second interception return for a touchdown this season. And you know what? Outside linebacker has been just fine for Julius Peppers. How big he is. Sometimes you see him on the edge of the defense, and he'll get beaten by guys who are quicker and they can run around him. But his size and his wingspan kind of makes up for those small shortcomings on Julius Peppers' part, because he can cover so much area. Albeit he's not the quickest cat in the world, that wingspan, and you know, they just throw it into Julius Peppers' zone that he's covering on that play, and he's just able to snatch the ball, and he was not going to be denied that touchdown. Boy, he shook off a would-be tackler there to get in the end zone, and he really looked like he wanted it. He wanted to do the Lambeau leap, and just part of the many, many good plays by the Packers defense yesterday, albeit you can probably argue that it was a lot more from Eagles miscues than it is due to great play by the Packers. Once again, Mark Sanchez, just errant throws, off-target throws, and the fumble there. You can argue Mark Sanchez should have been able to corral that botched snap that Casey Hayward scored on. But regardless, the Packers, you know, taking advantage, capitalizing on these mistakes. And that's the biggest thing, capitalizing on mistakes. Whether it's scoring right away on a defensive touchdown or having the offensive, you know, come back after a turnover and get to a score. That no matter what recipe the Packers, you know, used yesterday, it was working. and just fantastic play. If you want to look at one thing that maybe wasn't going so well, the safety play yesterday was a little suspect, I would say. Morgan Burnett missing the tackle on Jordan Matthews that ended up being turned into a touchdown. Morgan Burnett giving up several completions on the day. Micah Hyde, I know, besides, you know, he looked great as a punt returner, did give up a few completions, although did make that one diving deflection that was really good as well. Clynn Dix being at fault for a couple missed tackles. And on top of that, you could make the argument, it looked as if Clynn Dix was perhaps at fault. I'd have to go back and look real closely here and maybe get the coach's analysis of what happened on that block punt as well, whose responsibilities are what. But you could argue Clynn Dix was perhaps at fault, at least partially, for that punt getting blocked. Not a great day from Packers safeties on defense yesterday. Micah Hyde making up for it on special teams. And that's what you got to do. If you have a bad play, hey, at least the guy made up for it. Unfortunately, Morgan Burnett, Clynn Dix, not making up for their shortcomings. A little bit suspect in the safety area yesterday, albeit I am nitpicking, but just trying to provide a little analysis for this game. We'll let it slide. If the Packers can come away with decisive 53-20 victories like they did on Sunday, there's no reason to really spend too much time linger on these negative aspects of the Packers game. But now,
the day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers on Monday, it is Packers Talk Show Day, in which I believe there is 8 Packers talk shows on local media, either local TV or radio on Monday. I think perhaps the biggest one of the day will be on Clubhouse Live, over on clubhouselive.com. Eddie Lacy, after his 2-touchdown day, joins his lead blocker, fullback John Kuhn, who is the co-host of the show, at 6:30 p.m. Central Time, so make sure to tune in there. But just one of several appearances throughout the day by Packers players and local media, as it is every Monday, dominating the local airwaves. What a unique aspect that is, how many Packers talk shows there are. And if you want your fill of Packers talk, you certainly have more options than just Cheesehead TV and Railbird Central. So that gets underway today. And on top of that, Mike McCarthy's regular day-after-game press conference, as he holds every week, will happen at 4:15 p.m. Central Time, streamed live, as usual, on Packers.com if you want to tune in which they'll break down yesterday's game some more, get the fallout from the game from the head coach. So that's on tap later today. But that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. No guest today, but that's all right. We'll be back on Wednesday with our usual Wednesday guest, Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. He'll help us take one last look back at this game against the Eagles and then ahead for a road game against the Minnesota Vikings at TCF Bank Stadium, University of Minnesota's stadium, next Sunday. So looking forward to that, talking to him then. We'll see you later, folks. Thank you for joining us as we do here every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time at Cheesehead TV. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, Alex Talich, everybody else at Cheesehead TV, I'm Brian Caravu. Stay tuned for all your news needs on our blog. We'll have lots of updates throughout the day. But I leave you today with, appropriately, a song called Best Feeling by Keller Williams, joining the String Cheese Incident on Cy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.
my right.